Hello, everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. My name is Kevin Smith, and it's a privilege to be with you again. The real universal guides are representatives of the true reality of the all is, and they continually and tirelessly endeavour to present to everybody possibilities beyond which they have always known. The ultimate objective is to show individuals how to be self-sufficient, to show them the potentiality of a position of real survival in real universes, the like of which defy our personal self's mind's ability to comprehend. It is a position, a universal position, that requires recognition, and the most interesting aspect of this whole affair is that we already are these beings of real light, but we must recognize that we are so. This opportunity is available for all, and the real guides have approached every individual on the real side, regardless of if the person realizes this or not. This is where awareness is important, for an individual can quite conceivably meet all the real guides, but not realize who they are or what they represent. The majority of people will experience far more limited experiences in their dream arenas, and their recollection will be lacking in comparison to one who sings the new you song and opens up far more so the real side and brings back the adventures to the personal self also. Everybody will be dreaming, because everybody has four other body vehicles and a real self, operating them all in the real universes. All these vehicles will have their corresponding life levels, vast dimensional realms in their own right, and these life levels are not switched off just because we happen to have our awareness in our physical one-dimensional bodies during our day-to-day waking activities, or just because we don't happen to recollect the experiences on waking. Most people will not afford the real side much attention, even though the physical life level that they hold so dear is the passing dream and the dumping ground for everything that is being set in motion from the other parts of the created personal self, the other life levels. The real side, then, is where an analysis of everything that we are can be examined. The emotions, thoughts, and imagination, and how they culminate to create our experiences on the physical level. Through the process of idea creations to effects, everything is an isness, and so, in actuality, everything is contained in every new moment. There is, of course, no levels, therefore, ups or downs, ins and outs, and travelling from here to there. Though it's far easier to determine the construction of our unceasing creational experiences, if we can fan out the five bodies and determine what we are constantly activating with them. For this is the design of the created personal self and all its various aspects as generators of idea considerations and emotions to constantly create experiences for our journey to real self-recognition. We could certainly begin to determine the way we choose to utilize our effect-generating vehicles simply by observing what we see in our physical-level environment. Life is always demonstrating to us, if not on the real side, by way of experiences, then on the physical life level, by what is currently occupying our immediate environment. For nothing can feature in our experience unless it is by our design, unless it is by the cause creations that we have agreed with that make it so. It can be said that we are the products of our environment, depending on the social design of it, its laws, morals, and environmental impacts will our current personal self be adjusted accordingly as a survival tactic. The personal self would naturally seek to survive, to fit in, and be accepted, as it always will seek comfort and happiness. This is its overall motivation. To look around the place you happen to be in, you can ascertain the kinds of considerations, morals, and behaviour regulating sensor blocks that your personal self would have taken on in this lifetime, in order to be socially acceptable and to survive. If you were brought up in a very barbaric environment, the sensor that regulates behaviour would be less stringent. Such people may quite readily attack and kill each other with no concern or agitation whatsoever. But place such a barbaric individual in a society where such behaviour is denied, where this particular moral upbringing ensures the censor will not allow such behaviour, it's likely this individual will not survive very effectively. This censor is developed according to the society or place in life an individual finds themselves. All individuals will have a subconscious where all manner of things will be sought and desired, regardless of how dark they may be. Placed in a so-called civilized society, these subconscious drives will be largely suppressed by what the society deems as appropriate behaviour, and this censor is then adjusted to prevent these subconscious desires from reaching the conscious mind and causing a great upset to the individual. For such an individual was brought up in a place where killing is bad, and thus to harbour thoughts of wanting to do such things would be rather traumatic to such a person. Thus the censor prevents such trauma. Although some individuals seem to have a faulty censor that seems to not get set in place, despite being in such a society, the various mass murderers and so forth. But if we go along with the notion of an individual being the product of their environments, we must consider that there are various stages of environment that an individual progresses through, and each becomes progressively more so as the individual grows up. We would begin life then in a very contained and relatively confined setting in the houses we are brought up in, and then progressing into scenes and situations and places beyond this starting point, taking our first venturing steps into the world, but always having the home as a base, as it were. From there, we would go to school, and then into the wider world, into the 9-to-5 cabal slavery job positions, etc. Whatever is the structure of the society we are in will be ingrained progressively more so as we grow up. We then reach school, and the indoctrination begins. Survival, as it pertains to being socially accepted and acceptable, becomes then very apparent at school as a necessity. So we are slowly moulded into an individual, much like any other, in whatever place on the planet we happen to be in. We have become the product of our environment. Although our initial environment is very small, and the sensor aligning will begin there, the responsibility falls on the parents to mould the individual, or begin to, in such a way to morally fit in with wherever they happen to live. If we take our barbaric friend from earlier, we can see he would have been brought up in a very barbaric home circumstance. Then his barbaric nature encouraged and enforced as he ventured further beyond his initial home starting point into continuous barbaric encouraged circumstances. It's interesting how the personal self tends to be set in the first 5 years of life. Whatever the child is subjected and exposed to lays the foundation for the individual's personality, considerations, and attitudes. But always there is, of course, the option to make personal alterations in the interests of survival. This would explain how some of our mass murderers are created, for often is the time where we find such individuals had abusive parents or malicious home situations that very much may have created abhorrent tendencies to the individual and set the stage for them becoming the next Hannibal Lecter, although not always the case, as some individuals have the perfect upbringing from the perspective of their respective society, and yet still become the next mass murderers. This sensor that regulates behaviour is created according to lifetime circumstances and environments, and of course we have had multitudes of lifetimes. The previous lifetime will set the stage for our current one. What we have set in motion with our causal, created idea agreements is always projecting us and laying out our next lifetime. With this, we can see that most lifetimes will be along very similar parameters: what we like, chase, and want now, we are projecting into the next incarnation. There are many variables. We are also subjected to the creations of others, and agreement to these will further add variation to future lifetimes. But generally, we have created our personal selves as we have, and the ideas We incorporate from others will bolster whatever it is that we have decided for ourselves. If an individual has become very abrasive and aggressive in their created consciousness, they will align themselves and effect experiences in keeping with their creation. They will always be in these sort of worlds and situations. They will most likely be in these barbaric societies, and generally you would have thought, not finding themselves in a country or world where acts of barbarism are morally acceptable, and yet a few would seem to slip through the cracks to find themselves in places they simply don't fit into, made apparent by their behaviour, regardless of their upbringing. If an individual has had very extreme and aggressive lifetimes, their censor must be less stringent, and perhaps, if they find themselves in somewhere completely different, no amount of programming and upbringing can completely make the adjustments necessary to ensure that the individual doesn't turn into a raving antisocial lunatic. Everyone decides what they will do and what lifetimes they will have, even if they don't realize this. And if a barbaric individual finds himself in a life where he still clings strongly to his barbaric created consciousness, he must have inadvertently, unconsciously, agreed and decided to whatever particulars brought him here. We do tend to follow similar lines of lifetimes as our created consciousness becomes very routine and fixed in its cause projections into experience, but nevertheless, it is the real you deciding all of this. There is a disconnect between the personal awareness and the real awareness, the real you, but nevertheless, it is the real you that decides to recreate a physical vehicle and place it in creation each time around. For how would the personal self know how to do this? As it is simply a receiver of information, and however it categorizes the information, however it considers its experiences and emotionally segregates them according to like and dislike, is what drives it on. What has it agreeing to what it does and effecting its ongoing experience? For the real you always has a plan, that is, to ultimately recognize itself through the awareness of the created self. and so is always moving the personal self through the experiences necessary to where the personal self decides to be and see more, and make the tentative reach and connection to the real awareness. So, yes, the personal self is on automatic pilot and does what it does according to its created construction. The real you always had a goal each lifetime. Regardless of what it is always for the overall intent of self-recognition, but very often this goal or objective is never realized, as the personal self in its unconscious stupor goes about its thrill-seeking and comfort zone establishing. So, yes, this automatic pilot situation will have the personal self stuck in very similar lines of lifetimes, but it is the real you that always has the say. And if it deems it necessary, it will position the personal self in a completely different environment or world to what it has been used to. Our barbarian may well have continued to project into barbaric worlds if left to its own devices, always experiencing the effect of its chosen and decided created consciousness, were it not for the real self deciding a change is necessary and repositioning our barbarian into a so-called more civilized spot somewhere. And now you have the bull in the china shop situation, and we may well have our mass murderer, regardless of the parents' best efforts and fine upbringings. This censor, this moderator of behaviour, may take many lifetimes to readjust if it's been used to being set a certain way. But adjust it will eventually. Our barbaric friend may eventually become more moderated in his behaviour if always he finds himself in the electric chair, or killed, hunted, or ostracised based on his behaviour. Enough lifetimes of this, and our barbarian is less barbaric. His attitude becomes evened out and more balanced, and consequently his experiences will be different. The whole point of the simulators is for experience, and regardless of the experience, comparisons are made available, and the process of getting to a point where the real self is ready to recognize itself can be reached. The real you will do what is best for this goal, this real intent, and may well go along these sort of lines of building up a certain consciousness in its personal self with the experiences to match, and then turning it on its head and depositing the created self in a world or situation completely at odds and contrary to a created consciousness of that type. We can see then, if we are very objective to this process, how the ideas of right and just and what is decent and noble mean very little when it comes to the raw reality of simply gleaning experiences to become more aware through. Although this may sound as though a tyrant can get into the real universes as readily as a saint, but to become with the ease, one must become harmless, be of no threat or danger to anyone. So despite all the richness of experience that can be gleaned by playing the roles of the good guys and those of the bad, and despite what ideas we may create to label these idea creations, which are these roles that we play, ultimately all attitudes, considerations, the created consciousness, in however it is constructed, must be superseded if one is to assume a position with the ease. For you can't take your creation with you. You can't cling onto your abrasive created consciousness with all of its bad person idea labels, as much as you can't cling onto your being loving and saintly consciousness with all of its you are a wonderful, upstanding person created labels. You must seek to be indifferent to all, everything that is created, and the created consciousness, and focus on your real awareness and intent. That recognition of your real self and the ease can be gleaned. So yes, we are the products of our environments while in creation, and our environment then can generally reveal what it is that makes up our created consciousness. For the effect experience stems from our personal self's construction. And even if we were deposited in an environment contrary to our created consciousness, the effects would soon show up. Our created abrasive consciousness would soon bring causes to bear that effect experiences in this contrary environment far different to those of a so-called decent person. Such an abrasive individual will have overspill from the previous malign lifetimes. Certain individuals will re-emerge in their lives. Certain situations that may well rekindle and ensure such an individual makes what seems to society to be all the wrong choices. For even if the real you did place the personal self a million light years across the universe on a different planet, the created consciousness remains, and however it was constructed, was projecting certain things and scenarios into the next lifetime. So regardless of how far the personal self is placed, it can't escape its past. There will be a crossover. An aggressive reptilian projecting all its aggressive attitudes and ideas may well suddenly be placed as a human, but it cannot escape what it had previously created, and such projections that would have perhaps manifested as continuous reptilian situations in keeping with such attitudes would now conjure up the kind of situations that would align with such reptilian attitudes on Earth and in its new human form. This individual will probably get in with the wrong crowds, get into a crime, etc. The sort of characters that would encourage such situations would show up in its life. It's very conceivable that the most abrasive, aggressive individuals stemmed from such races as reptilians, and a little adjustment is required, and that may take several lifetimes, assuming the real selves elect to keep them on Earth as humans. Every individual who creates a new body for another lifetime will be in the realms of the Kalam God generally, as they sit in whatever designated heaven they have agreed to, while the real you prepares another body and lifetime position. The real you will work with what it has. The choices the personal self made will set the parameters for the body form and what is possible according to the shackles of agreement binding tapline restrictions. But while in the psych realms between physical level positions and with no connection to the real awareness, and if not then working with the real guides, the personal self is very much under the control of the Kalam God, the reptilian overlord of the mental level, the influence also and subjected to the dictates of the Lords of Karma. the Lords of Karma will bestow the fate upon the individual, where they will go next, according to the choices they made. But really, they are simply telling the individual what the individual has decided for themselves. For they always are the decider and forge their own effect karma consequences. The Lords of Karma simply tell them this is where they are to go. The Kalam God will certainly be determining which individuals may be useful in assisting him to maintain his position. All the controlling systems and abrasive reptilian-like characters in the simulator bolster and maintain the Kalam's position through intimidation, marketing ploy, and agreement on mass garnering. If we do have a very barbaric individual or a previous reptilian entering the Kalam's midst, he will certainly consider the qualities of the individual to be just what he needs to further bolster and maintain his position. Very likely then, as our previous reptilians do go to Earth as humans and will undoubtedly have a little difficulty fitting in with such a planet due to their previous lifetimes of aggression and warlike attitudes, they may well end up in dire situations consequently. They may get into the gangs, crimes of all kinds, etc. But if they have a particular ability or skill that the Kalam God feels may be useful, then these individuals may not become the mass murderers and rapists of tomorrow. They may become the prime ministers, politicians, movie stars, and operating in these sort of circles. Such previous lifetime attitudes and created ideas would set the stage for the sort of individuals that can feature in their experience, that are very likely to lead them astray, as it were, into crime and such. But the biggest mass murderers, villains, and the like are the ones that operate and maintain the controlled systems of the Earth to ensure a support structure through agreement is maintained for the Kalam God. A system based on control and restriction for all, and so the potentiality of a crime gang featuring in a previous lifetime as a reptilian but now human individual's experience is just as likely as an approach by the movie industry or people from political circles. For on the surface, it would appear that the political, religious, movie industry systems are very fine and proper, but are, of course, anything but all reptilian-owned and reptilian-based. And the most notorious and evil circles one could operate within. It would stand to reason then that if the Callum God sees favourable traits in our previous reptilian, now a human, the sort of traits that would be very instrumental from a maintenance of control perspective, then the Callum will ensure the right people enter this individual's life. The individual had set up the experience through the choices and decisions made that such potentiality of experience is possible, and a series of experiences would have them suddenly being a politician or a television character as the appropriate people approach such an individual and ensure their talents for control and restriction don't go to waste. All these stories of wonderful coincidences and lucky breaks, these characters coming from rags to riches and operating in these systems of control, are perhaps not as random as they would seem, more based on potentialities stemming from the decisions made by the individual and capitalized on to ensure the next generation of oppressing and controlling system people are secured, every system being a control factor, a distortion making no sense with the whole of life, and yet looking so very essential and fine on the surface. But backtracking slightly, many times life will also take advantage of the environment an individual is in. Life and the real guides will work with the parameters that the individual has decided and established for themselves, and seek to place signs and symbols in their everyday physical life experience for their consideration as it pertains to becoming more aware. It's all about paying attention to what life is showing you, and life is always on. It's always there. The ears is everything and cannot be anywhere else. It's just according to our recognition of it from the perspective view of our personal self. As an example, I heard on one of Lila's radio shows how Dwayne very often points out the various features in his experience where life and the real guides are affording him indicators, signs and confirmations. Dean Val, a regular new friend on the Lila show, shared the example of how what's happening in regards to the strength of the waves in the ocean provide Dwayne with information about projects and the merits of doing them and their timing. How on one occasion there were two squirrels, and Dwayne informed Val that these were Rebazar and Paul. Again, a degree of recognition is required. Not only that we perceive the signs and indicators on the physical level, but what they represent and demonstrate. Much like the ears is a reality that must be recognized, but it is invisible to the personal self. Yet it is there, and more real than the passing dream of the rock-bottom worlds. Because it is an invisible reality, we can't hope to perceive it in the conventional sense. It won't reveal as imagery, with differentiation that make up the scenes. All experiences are for the personal self, but it is the personal self that must recognize the all is through the experiences used as comparisons for what the true reality is not. On the physical level then, and on the real side, the experiences are designed and constructed that they present as scenes in a movie. But again, all imagery can only be in creation, and therefore not the true reality of the all is. It reaches a point where an individual has the awareness to appreciate that for every experience they perceive from the perspective of the personal self, there is an underlying message or insight that is from the real awareness and the ears, according to the personal self's connection to the real awareness. For every dream experience on the real side, there is what the personal self sees. For it must see something, for it lacks the recognition of the ears and requires these experiences to eventually see this true reality. But if the individual stops with the experience, then it has stopped with its personal self and gone no further. The best the guides and life can do is create an experience which hints and demonstrates what it is they are trying to convey. For the only other way to get the information would require recognition and the ability to read the ears, which the individual lacks. So you have the surface, personal self-experience, but always it demonstrates something else that is to be recognized. a recognition similar to that required for the ears, but not entirely. For if we had ears recognition, then the experiences as scenes and plays would be less required. We would simply read directly from the ears. So it stands to reason that the recognition required to decipher the experiences is not so great initially, but as time passes, more recognition is required to decipher the experiences. This would make sense as the guides seek to test our recognitional prowess, our recognitional capability, to stretch it ever more so that we can get closer to direct ears recognition and insight gleaning from the true reality, without the necessity so much for experience. So the guides assist us and work with us, operating with symbols and signs that are unique to our individual understanding in our real side experiences. The trick being then to learn a catalogue of what the various symbology means to us. Some are fairly standard. A house represents the personal self. A car represents an attitude, etc. But each person will have different interpretations for symbology. A spider could mean one thing to one person, but something completely different to another. As it is on the real side, so it is on the physical life level, as life demonstrates to us. Again, we have the physical surface experience of the personal self, but we endeavour to read what is behind the experiences, what life is conveying to us, utilising the personal self-experience. As in Dwayne's example, he knew the squirrels were the guides. Life had taken advantage of the environment as an extension of the personal self to be able to place squirrels there. Maybe were Dwayne in the Antarctic, life may have been able to place creatures more indigenous to such an environment, as squirrels would not be an option. Some people may well have been drawn to the squirrels, knowing it was something life was placing in their experience to provide a message, or sign, or indicator. But again, as with the real side, it falls on the recognition of the individual to determine what is beneath the surface personal self-experience that the ears is trying to provide. Most aware people would notice the squirrels, but it must surely take quite the recognition to realise they were the guides. Again, there are levels of recognition, and it's unlikely the guides would wish to assume a form on the physical to provide a verification for someone that only realizing it was the guides would provide. With Dwayne, not a problem. He has great recognition and can read readily direct from the ears. This is why he doesn't chase or seek experiences on the real side. For him, they are unnecessary, as he reads directly from the ears. For others, the real side experiences would be required. To back engineer with recognition to decipher what was being provided from the guides and life. If it was decided that the guides were to feature on the physical level for an individual, for whatever reason, it would then depend on the individual's recognitional skills as to what form this would take. Perhaps for some, the guides would have to appear as they are, or in a semi-disguise that requires a degree more recognition. Or, as in Dwayne's case, completely different forms. On the real side, you begin to appreciate impressions over experience, and as awareness and recognition of this true reality continues, you get the two weaving together. The visual experience coupled with impressions. I find that it becomes more so impressions in regards to dialogue rather than actual exchange of words, as often I would struggle to hear the words, but find I am unable to. Yet with recognition comes the heightened ability to hear the exchanges through impressions, and these impressions can apply to the actual individuals also. You may have an experience that seemed one thing. Maybe you were just in a room and doing very little, yet your impressions were of the presence of the guides and everything they were conveying. I can often have very basic experiences on the real side, from the personal self's surfacey, perceived perspective, and yet am afforded impressions of entire scenes, interactions, and dialogue that the personal self did not experience, that the personal self would not have known were it not for its connection to the real awareness and its ongoing process of awareness of ever increasing is recognition. I will finish with this example of real guides featuring in our physical experiences and displaying in accordance to the recognitional capability of the individual. My father, Peter, stopped at a zebra crossing to allow an individual to cross the road. The individual would turn and nod appreciation, and Peter told me he looked uncannily like Rebazar Tars. It would be required that Peter pay attention here. He may well not have, be perhaps staring into space as the individual crossed the road, and perhaps then the experience lost. Was this in fact Rebazar assuming a temporary form here? Maybe so, and demonstrating how he and the guides are always around, even if they are not always apparently to the personal self at any rate so. Or maybe Rebazar superimposed his features over the face of this individual for the same effect, knowing Peter was paying attention and taking the opportunity to present himself in this novel manner. The real guides can do anything if it makes sense to do so in regards to the whole of life and for beneficial awareness-provoking reasons. They will readily manipulate the physical level in this manner, if only to reveal themselves momentarily to a new friend. Once at a place of work, I was having a quite the stressful day, and on one of the cages of goods I was trundling back and forth, Rebazar's face did appear on the very cage, almost as a reminder that he was around and watching over me. It was a nice touch, and appreciated, as often we can get lost in the mire of the necessities of the day, and dealing with the personal self's maintenance, etc. And that would conclude the new UK radio show. I thank you all for listening, and I will finish with the new you song. New